the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yo, 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 yo. It's the show. It's back. It's 2018. You know what that means. Brace yourself for another bullshit year.
Oh, yeah.
Politics and maybe wrestling. Maybe the wrestling will be good. The wrestling last year was good.
Oh, the politics in wrestling is bullshit.
Yeah, the politics in wrestling are bullshit. So let's get rid of politics across the board. Let's make this a wrestling democracy. From now on, if you want to be the president of anything, you have to win the title.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, welcome to the United States under Brock Lesnar, I guess. Yep. He is the Universal Champion.
Yes.
That makes AJ Styles the vice president, and I believe Kazuchika Okada, chief of staff. Is that the third top position?
I would say Speaker of the House.
Speaker
of the House is like the guy that's like if the vice president's killed, then he takes over. Then somehow he ends up taking over.
Yeah. Well, if he takes over, he's going to be making it rain because we were talking about the Rainmaker.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He makes it rain for New Japan. So, it's time to talk about wrestling. But before we get that, how's it going so far for 2018, man?
Nothing too much. Taking prescription drugs because I am a junkie. Doing more work than I have to, but still doing less work than I have to. But yeah, I'm just pretty much kind of chilling out, I guess.
Makes sense. Yeah. Well, it's California over here. We survived the fires, and now we're surviving floods. So you
and mudslides.
Yeah, mudslides. That's us. We just, if it ain't one thing, it's another. California. I mean, it was just like 3 months ago, we're like, man, we could really use some rain to fix these fucking fires. And then suddenly it's like, we don't really need the rain now. Can you stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some bullshit, but yeah, it's not really affecting where I'm living. So that's a positive. So, all right, we're going to start talking about wrestling, and we're probably going to skip Raw and SmackDown because if you just stay on the internet for more than a few weeks, you'll realize that both Raw and SmackDown are the same show every week.
Yep.
I mean, I haven't watched SmackDown, but everything I see is the Riot Squad versus whatever women, Shane McMahon trying to screw over Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then there's like maybe two other things. I don't care. I don't care at all. I just watch the pay-per-views. The pay-per-views are good, but I don't give a fuck about anything else. But we're going to talk about the big shit that happened. Last Thursday, and it's going to lead us into the whole year. We're talking Wrestle Kingdom 12. You saw the whole show, right?
Oh, most definitely.
All
right. Yo, my story of it was like, all right, so the night of, I decided to go to sleep early, because it airs like 3 o'clock, and then like the pre-shows are like 2, so I was like, all right, let me just go to sleep early. I think I went to sleep around like 8:30, then ended up waking up around like 2:30, because I didn't really give a shit about the pre-show that much. I just wanted to have a little bit of a jump on the main show, so I watched most of it up until part of the four-way match. Actually, I'm watching most of the four-way match. And while all this is going on, it fucking snowed. So I had to like basically kind of balance. I was watching it on my phone. I was watching it on my phone while trying to like clear some snow and start my car and all that shit. And once I cleared everything off, I put the phone and heat up my car, put the phone in my car. The New Japan World is still playing on my phone, and this time it's using my data instead of the Wi-Fi. And I take it, and I'm going and I go to the Metro, hop on the Metro. I'm watching it on the Metro for the longest time until we finally get underground. Then it cuts off again. Once I get out of the Metro, cuts back and start watching it again. I think it was the Jay White, the Switchblade versus Tanahashi match, and I watched the rest of Wrestle Kingdom at work. So that was an interesting play to make sure I watched it live.
I just woke up at like 7-8 o'clock this time and just watched it. I wasn't gonna try to fight to watch it live.
I thought about it, but I was like, I didn't want to get spoiled.
Yeah, I took the day off, so I was just like, I'm just gonna wake up early and watch it.
I could have taken the day off. I would have, like, honest to God, I would have if I wasn't on probation.
Yeah, it's understandable. I remember last year I took off the day too to do the same thing. Nice. All right, so we start with the 21-man New Japan Rumble, or as they call it in Japan, Rambo. So I'm only looking at somebody wrote the highlights. Kitamura was one of the early guys in. Him and Bushi actually went in first.
Yeah.
Chase Owens was in early. He got a few eliminations, including pinning the booker of Ring of Honor, Delirious. And I made a comment on my Twitter. It was Chase Owens wearing the honorary Tongan shirt, living the gimmick, and pinning ROH Booker, who, because he hasn't booked him yet, and Chase Owens liked that tweet, even though I didn't tweet it out to him. So, you know, Chase Owens vanity searching, but it's okay, right? Yeah, Delirious lost. Suzuki Juniors were there. The Gino Gambino from Australia was there. He's like a Bullet Club guy for Australia, I guess. Haner debuted his new look there. He's, I think it's like Toka Haner or Toa Haner now. He's got an outfit that's a mix of Maori and his Native American influences, because he's part Maori, part Native American.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger showed up at the end. The guy who won it was what's the name of the guy? Misahaki, Masahito Kakihara, who was a buddy of Takayama, who, as you know, was paralyzed right now. And he actually he used to wrestle for New Japan. He also was a
He was in that era where, like, Inoki was, like, heavy on, like mixed martial artist type dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also survived cancer, so this was his first match back in a couple years. So, you know, feel good win for that guy. It was a fun little pre-show thing. Then we have the opening match, the junior tag title match, as the Young Bucks defeated Roppongi 3K for the titles. I kind of saw this coming because I assumed that they were going to have Roppongi 3K beat them for the Young Bucks for the belts later on. Part of me thinks they're going to just move the Young Bucks eventually up to heavyweight tag division. I'm not sure, but it was a good match. I would have liked Roppongi 3K to win, but I wasn't surprised the Bucks did. Yeah, any thoughts on the match?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was your standard Young Buck fare.
Yeah, with a little less Young Buckness, I guess.
Yeah, just a little.
They dial it down a little bit for New Japan.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have the never open weight 6-man championship gauntlet match. This is the best of all the gauntlet matches they've done. It started out with Suzuki Goon versus Team. Why are we teaming with Michael Elgin? Zack Sabre Jr. Had Raymond Rowe passed out in a combination triangle hold. Something else. Because Zack Sabre can't just put on one hold. He has to put on three holds at the same damn time.
Right.
And then Toriano pinned Taichi with the Schoolboy when they went up against... when Chaos came out. It was Chaos, Toriano, Beretta, and Tomohiro Ishii. And then Toriano also pinned Ryusuke Taguchi with the Schoolboy. Taguchi represented Taguchi Japan, with Juice Robinson and Togi Makabe. And then they took on the champions, the Tongan faction, part of the Tongan faction of the Bullet Club. OG, BC members, Tama Tonga, Balak Fale, and Tonga Loa. And Beretta hit the Dude Buster on Tama Tonga, and they won the Trios titles. It was a pretty good gauntlet match, the best of all the gauntlet matches they've done.
Yeah.
I think this was also the first time where one the middle team won two matches, let alone three, so that was a nice change of pace. And then we got Kota Ibushi defeated Cody, who was out with Brandi Rhodes.
Oh, and before we get to that, do you hear about Michael Elgin? Like, because he now he's back on Twitter.
Yeah, I know he's back on Twitter.
Yeah, like I think he issued a statement. I didn't bother to read that shit. Did you read it?
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah,
it's an apology. Depends on who you want to talk to. I not being a woman, I can't. You know, as a guy, I thought it was fine, but I guess he didn't really apologize to the woman all that well, apparently. He sent her some just random text, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, really?
It really depends on how you feel about things. I'm a little... I mean, it's shitty, but at the same time, it's like... It's Elgin getting a lot more of the attention than the person who attacked her. But then that guy kind of just disappeared entirely.
Yeah.
And Elgin sort of kept himself kind of in the mix, which was not good. He should have issued the apology sooner and got off Twitter right away and stayed off Twitter for a few months.
Yeah, he waited way too long for that apology.
Yes. He should have. If I was him, I definitely would have been off longer, and I would have talked someone into doing like CMLL for a couple months.
Right.
And then popped up afterwards, but, you know, whatever.
Well, most likely, I mean, he may very well end up being in fucking Mexico for the rest of his career.
Maybe. He is getting booked in the States again in some places.
Really?
Yes. I don't know which ones, but he is going to get... But he's also going to be in Japan again from the end of February on, so... Huh. Well, for several weeks. I'll get to that a little later. Okay. Yeah. But this was also the War Machine's last match in Japan, as they look like they're headed out to WWE. Raymond Rose booked for his last show at AIW. They're calling on the show Death Row, so there's that. Yeah. All right, so Kota Ibushi defeated Cody with Brandi Rhodes. I really liked this match. This was
It was a lot better than I expected it to be.
Yeah. They worked well together. I mean, Cody Rhodes sort of embraced the WWE-ness, and I think that really helped him. And the stuff with the plancha that hit Brandi, and then, you know, it was a trick. He tried to do the Prince thing, pick her up, and then he hits him. And then Cody and Brandi are just laughing on the ground. That's a
right.
That was a brilliant camera shot.
Yeah.
And then of course, the crossroads off the apron
off
was
the
a...
Off the apron, yes. That was fantastic.
Yeah. And then when he tries to do the one in the ring and, oh, okay, whatever. And then he hits him with the, you know, he reverses that other one into the lawn darts.
Yeah.
And my recorder thing is being a little weird. I thought it set keep recording and then just stop, whatever. As long as your thing is recording.
Yeah, mine's good. It's fantastic.
Some people called this the handsome battle, which I thought was fascinating. I think Cody's hair, his new hair looks really good on him now. It took a while to grow into it, but I'm digging it.
Some people said he actually looks like a Rhodes now.
Yeah. And the crowd seemed to like his new hair style a lot better, because they were like, eh, it's Cody, whatever. And then he brought the hair out, like, and then the Japanese fan's like, oh, that's a nice haircut. Right? They gave him the applause after the hair reveal. But, yeah, but, you know, it was a very, very good match. I was really happy with it. And then we got the heavyweight tag title match that had me on fucking edge in the first minute because I thought KES was going to win that shit right there.
Yeah, because they were beating the shit out of them.
Yeah, they hit them with the finisher at first, and Anata barely made the save, and they whooped their ass for the next 7-8 minutes. Was it the choke slam off the apron into all the young boys in Sonata? They were just... mean as fuck. But the team, LIJ, came in and finally won it, and we got new tag team champions. Good tag match. Very good tag match. And then my favorite match of the show, I'm going to go out and say, the never open weight match between Goto and Suzuki.
Oh, that was hard hitting.
Yeah, I actually did buy into Goto being actually knocked out in the first few minutes after the hanging sleeper.
Yeah.
Suzuki just beat the shit out of Goto. Goto survived. He eventually fought back. He hit that mean-ass neck breaker, the Ushigoroshi off the turnbuckles, and then did the that lifting reverse GTR where it looks like he breaks the guy's throat and then hit him with this finisher. It was a brutal match. I really, really fucking loved it. It was the best of their three matches. Yeah, really fucking happy about this match. It was my favorite match of the night. And Suzuki went in and shaved his own damn head because he's not going to let anyone else do it.
Hell yeah. So now, he's like, fuck out of here. I ain't going to give you the satisfaction.
Yeah, you took the belt. I'm going to shave my own head. Fuck you. And then after that, we had the Four Corners Junior Heavyweight match with Will Ospreay winning the title back, pinning his enemy Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
Match also had Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida. This match was pretty much just crazy front to end. Lots of sunset flip bombs to the outside.
And I think there was a point where Marty, like, they had freaking Will Ospreay jump off of the light fixture, and then, like, all of them were, like, supposed to catch him. Marty's the only one that's like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, sometimes I watch Marty and I think, does he care as much as his other guys? I mean, he's very more personality-driven now.
Right.
And, you know, I like Marty generally, but sometimes I watch his matches and I know it's sort of like the Adam Cole thing where he's only doing as much to get by, which, you know, I respect, but yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain. The match was good. The match was good. Any other thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I thought it was really dope. It was a really fun match.
Yeah. I did like Marty's, actually, everybody had good gear. Marty's wing thing was nice.
Yeah.
I thought the jacket and the glasses that Kushida had looked nice, too. Yeah. Good match. All right. Next up is the Intercontinental Championship match. It was good, but didn't quite rise to the level of any other match.
Yeah.
But Tanahashi successfully retained the title against Switchblade Jay White. Like I said, it was good. Jay White has a really nice offense, but there wasn't as much heat going into this, and you kind of feel like Tanahashi really needs to take some goddamn time off.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a bad back for years. He has a bad bicep. He's got a bad knee. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure New Japan would be fine if he takes 4 months off. But, you know, it was pretty good. It just wasn't which I was hoping for. So, moving on from that, we got one of the two main events. A match I disagree with being the best match of the show, but I really liked it anyway. The U.S. title match between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho that Omega won. Over-delivered, I would say.
Yeah, it was a lot better than it had to be, really.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I don't remember that much other than Jericho beating the shit out of Omega with the chair. Oh, there was the spot with Omega doing the double, well, he missed that one slingshot splash and broke the table.
Yeah.
There was him doing the double stomp onto the table that Jericho was under. Him hitting that pump knee on Jericho on the corner and Jericho falling into a table. There were some really nice spots through the match. But yeah, it was a very physical match. It was really good. Some people said it was their match of the night, and that's fine. It wasn't mine, but it was really, really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a toss-up with me. Whether I liked that one more or the Okada Naito match more.
Yeah, the Okada Naito match was my second match of the night. Because I took my fucking laptop off my cord, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, because I keep hearing the door knock, so I'm in the living room, and my fucking laptop dies on me.
Oh, man.
In the fucking middle of the match, I go fucking piss off. Luckily, my tablet's always on, so I just turn that on and jump right into it. But, yeah, I was on the edge of my seat. That last half minute filled me with so much fucking anxiety for that match.
Yeah.
But Okada retained. The ace doesn't lose at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, he does not.
Yeah, there's been some very interesting write-ups about this match regarding the idea of Naito kind of going back to the Stardust Genius thing and how he kept trying to do the Stardust press. How he was less than tranquilo because he was really playing to the fans more than he normally does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what cost him the match, which is a very interesting structure. But I did notice he kept going for that damn Stardust press. I'm like, come on, Naito, what the fuck are you doing? But, yeah, it was... he has, like, the meanest fucking neck breakers in wrestling. Holy's trying to break a motherfucker's neck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a excellent match. Really, really good. I think top to bottom, this was the better Wrestle Kingdom show than the last few.
Yeah, yeah, because I felt like overall this one was more entertaining and it throughout. You know?
Yeah.
There wasn't much of a lull through, like, watching this whole thing for me.
Yeah, we didn't get a crappy Ring of Honor match. I hate to say it. The Cody match was better this year than last year. The Trios match was better. Even though last year's, those last four matches were like bam, 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 because you had Shibata, Goto, then the Junior match, then the Tanahashi Naito match, and then the Okada Omega match. Like, I don't think you can beat those top four matches,
but overall,
most of the rest of that card is kind of forgettable.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, other than maybe Roppongi Vice versus the Young Bucks in the opener, but other than that, it's like the rest of that card was like, yeah, whatever. But this show, front to back, was beautiful.
Yeah, they balanced this one out a lot more.
Yeah, and they gave everything a good amount of time, too. Like, you knew they were going to give things time when that opening match went, like, more than 15 minutes long.
Right.
You know, they were looking for, I think they also tried to squeeze in two extra matches last year, and that just didn't help them at all.
Mm-hmm.
This year, everything just felt right. That was really good. And then after Wrestle Kingdom, the next day, we had, of course, New Year's Dash. Did you catch New Year's Dash?
Yeah, I caught some of it.
All right. Come on, load up, Paige. There we go.
I caught enough of it.
All right. Well, first we opened up with the New Japan Dads, Tenzin, Kojima, Nagata, and Nakanishi, taking on the Young Lions of Tomoyuki Oka, Shota Umino, Rin Narita, and Tetsuhiro Yagiyagi. He's the one who's bald now because Suzuki shaved him in the lead-up to the Goto match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, I missed that too, but I've seen him bald now. Shota and Rin... Well, Shoto's got a little more muscle than Ren, but having Yagi shaved actually helped differentiate them. Because I could kind of tell Umino's slightly different because he looks a little bigger than Ren and Yagi, but with Yagi having his head shaved, it helps differentiate him and Narita. Because a lot of those guys, I hate to say, look the same unless they're really belt or really small. But yeah, it was a pretty good match. Of course, the old dudes won. And then we had Suzuki-Goon versus Liger, Tiger Mask, Togi Makabe, Toa Hinare, and Harai Kawoto. And this was another okay match, and I believe Suzuki Gun won that one. And then we started the first of this set, the 7 series. Katsuyo Kitamaro is going to be doing 7 singles matches, and his first match was against Switchblade Jay White, who defeated him in a pretty good short match. You know, put some more heat on Jay White. But it was a good match, and Jay White will show up a little later. I know some of his other matches coming up because they've been already listed, but he will be fighting Tenzan, Kojima,
Elgin and Yuji Nagata for sure in this trial series. So those are all big matches for him. Next up, we had the Elite of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks taking on Cheeseburger and Roppongi 3K.
Yeah, they love Cheeseburger in Japan.
I know. But, of course, the Elite won, which is pretty fucking obvious. Next up, we had the Bullet Club of the Villain, Cody, Yujiro, Chase, and Leo Tonga with Brandi Rhodes taking on Taguchi Japan, Yusuke Taguchi, Kota Ibushi, Kushida, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay. Pretty good match. The Bullet Club won. And then the American Nightmare was going to destroy Kota Ibushi. Some of the boys held him down until Kenny Omega made the save, and the crowd went wild. So we got some Cody versus Omega heat going. After this, Kenny Omega cuts a promo about how they need Jay White to join the Bullet Club, I guess as an enforcer, to help cool down tensions. But our boy was not all that interested in it, and after taking the Bullet Club shirt, he switched his whole demeanor, and he hit Kenny Omega with the Blade Runner, as he's calling the move. So, yeah, no to Bullet Club from Jay White, and I have news on Jay White coming up in a little bit. So moving on to from that, we have the six-man tag match. For the titles, the Bullet Club regained the trio's titles from Beretta, Ishii, and Toriano. It was a pretty good match. Oh, I forget if it was this match or was the match the night before when I think it was Beretta tried to do the moonsault and Tama Tonga caught him in the gun stun. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah. That was a beautiful spot. That was sick.
Yeah, yeah. He really caught his ass. That was beautifully timed. All right. But, yeah, it was a pretty good six-man match. And I like Fale and God as the trio's champion. They'll probably take it a little more seriously than L.I.J. will. Next up, we had Suzuki-Goon of Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and the Killer Elite Squad defeated Tanahashi, Elgin, and War Machine. And it looks like Suzuki's going to challenge Tanahashi up next. So hopefully that means Tanahashi can take a fucking few months off, for God's sakes. And then we have the main event as LIJ took on the Chaos team of Okada, Ospreay, Goto, Yoshihashi, and Ghetto. And not only did they win, afterwards they just sort of started mopping the floor with them as Takahashi went off on Ospreay. And then Evil hit our never open weight champion with the Evil STO. And then it looked like Naito was about to attack Okada, but handed him over to Sonata, who did his thing. Sonata hit him with the TKO and then put him in the Cold Skull submission move. And then, you know, Naito's doing his LIJ finale bit, and it looks like all's well that ends well. And then who comes out the side to attack him? It's the Alpha Club, Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho's gonna be doing at least one more match in New Japan as he has targeted Naito. The two have been going back and forth online ever since Naito had a very serious issue with Jericho calling his and Omega's match the double main event. So yeah, Jericho and Naito will probably be pretty good. I liked Naito kind of like challenging Jericho to keep bringing it because, you know, Naito's a son of a bitch and he was spitting at him and posing. So I think there was a promo, I think, backstage where Naito was like, I don't really even know who Mr. Jericho is.
Oh, God.
So good looking out. And this leads into a number of news. We had the New Japan press conference where Chaos, where Okada, answered a few questions. He agreed to put the title on the line against Sonata if Sonata and Evil put up the tag team titles in a match against him and a partner, and he has picked Hirooki Goto. So we are going to be getting a LIJ putting on versus Goto and Okada Chaos tag team title match, which is already booked. And he also introduced the newest member of Chaos, Switchblade Jay White. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I actually did. Fantastic.
Did you listen to Jay White's promos and reasoning why?
Because he hates the Bullet Club?
Yeah, but he also said that he's not in Chaos like a full-fledged member. He's working with Chaos as backup to help him take down the Bullet Club. And he has plans to go after Okada eventually. And he told Okada this right there, too. He also said he doesn't understand why teams don't go after their top belts if your guy has the belt. And he asked Okada, like, what would you do if, you know, Yoshihashi or Ishii wanted a title shot? And Okada's like, man, I don't care. If they want a title shot, they want a title shot. But he was saying that Bullet Club are all a bunch of guys who kind of fall in line. And he doesn't understand it. And he's never liked Bullet Club. And this actually does call back to when Jay White did have a singles match against Kenny Omega. I believe when Omega was the IC champion, it was a non-title match. And right before Jay White left to Excursion a couple months later. So this is definitely a callback. But, you know, Jay White was actually really really good as on the press conference bit. And I did like that. But, and going from there, we had a number of news. The official card for Fantasticomania, the CMLL shows got put up, and some two major details happened. Number one, they announced that Hirai Kuoto is going on Excursion to Mexico. So these Fantasticomania shows will be his last in New Japan for now.
Okay.
So Kuoto will be on these shows. And also the last three nights, because those are the only three nights they're going to air, they're going to be doing a special brothers tag team tournament with the CMLL guys. So, yeah, instead of doing their usual, I mean, they're going to have title matches, obviously, but they decided to do a mini tournament, which was a nice change of pace, because I've seen the last two Fantasticomania shows, and they're both really good. But they both pretty much all ended with either Mystico wrestling one guy or Volador Jr. wrestling Ultimo Guerrero. So let me see. The tag teams that are going to be doing this are... where are they? Oh, they also will have, because they're giving Tanahashi a couple of those days off, Kojima will be stepping in for him instead for a couple of shows, including a match with Rush, which will probably be pretty good. All right, where's the tag teams for this at? We're going to be Angel De Aroa and Nebla Roja, Gran Guerrero and Ultimo Guerrero, Dragon Lee and Mystico, and Cuartero and Sanson. And we'll also be having Volador Jr., Barbero Cabanero will be there. Like I said, Rush is going to be there. Atlantis is going to be there. Fuego is going to be there. Soberano Jr., Akumoro, as always, Star Jr., Drone, Disturbio, and Puma. They were trying to get Negro Casas, but he's injured, so he will not be able to make the show.
It's ribs. Which is sad. I think it was his ribs or something like that.
Yeah. The guy's, what, like 56, 57 years old? Yeah. He's still going hard. Still really good every time I get around to seeing him. So, yep, Hirai Kuoto will be heading down to Mexico. Kitamura will probably end up staying because he's in his 30s, so he's probably not going to be doing Excursion. Kind of like Finley and Hinari doing Excursion. Maybe they'll just team them up. And then after that, we got some other random New Japan stuff as, New Beginning shows have been pretty much set. They're doing it a little different this year. They're actually opening with two of the major shows right off the bat. The New Beginnings in Sapporo, the 27th and the 28th are both major shows. Then they're going to do the Road 2 shows, and then they're going to end in Osaka. So basically, they're opening it up with two pay-per-views, doing the Road 2 shows, which only one, a couple of them really matter, and then ending in Osaka. Let me bring this up. I know the Korakuen show's really good. And they actually bothered to, you know, sometimes New Japan's Road 2 shows or sometimes their pay-per-views don't have a lot going for them. Some of these shows are really fucking stacked, like WWE pay-per-view style, which is a nice change of pace. Let's bring this up. So, here we go. Sapporo, the first of them ones, they'll have an actual legitimate regular tag team match. I think they're going to build Yano and Ishii up to eventually challenge for the titles. There's going to be a six-man match with the champions, the Tongans versus Taguchi Japan. We're going to get the main event of that show is going to be Minoru Suzuki challenging for the IC title. The next night, we have another of the Kitamaro matches with him fighting Juice Robinson. That might be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Another Yano Ishii match. Like I said, they think they're going to build him up. And the main events for that shows include the Young Bucks versus Roppongi 3K, and then Kenny Omega defending the U.S. title against Jay White. All right. Now, let's see. I know one of the Korakuen shows looks pretty good. I think it's this one. One of them has one of their special elimination matches, which I like their elimination matches. Pin, submission, or over the top. It'll be LIJ versus Chaos, of course. So the other Road to show probably has the tag title match. Yep. Goto and Okada challenging Evil and Sonata at one of the shows for the Korakuen Hall show. And that one looks pretty good. They have Elgin teaming up with a bunch of random people, too. He's teaming up with Tenzan on a few of them, Tanahashi on a few of them, Finley on a few of them. I know people are saying they could just replace him with Cobb, but Cobb is still signed to Lucha Underground, so they can't put him on television in the States. Yeah. All right, on the Osaka show is really packed. You got Nagata versus Kitamaro for the 7 Series. The Roppongi 3K will be facing off against El Desperado and Kanemaru in a non-title match. We have, what do we got else here? Then we have a bunch of singles matches for the top of the card. Every one of the LIJ guys is getting a single match at the Osaka show. Bushi versus Ghetto, Naito versus Yoshihashi, Osprey defends his title against Hiromu Takahashi, Goto defends his title against Evil, and Sonata, well, it doesn't have it listed here, but I believe it's Sonata challenging for the main title. That's not all. New Japan has also announced that tickets for the American show in Long Beach will go on sale on the 29th, and they have announced a mini tour of Australia February something through for 4 days, 18, 19, 20, 21, I believe. So New Japan, a lot of shit going down. A lot of fucking shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're trying to fucking take over. There's a new promo being aired on Access TV about New Japan. They got Jim Ross talking about it. I saw it on Twitter. And, yep, that's it. It's going to be a busy, busy year for New Japan. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I am really thrown off with what they're going to do for... one more thing. Because they're... what's that place? The Sumo Hall is closed for renovations in August. It's where they've been having the last three G1 climaxes last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it's closed for renovations, they are going to the bigger, more famous Budokan Hall for the last three G1 shows. So that's a big deal. And also, apparently Kota Ibushi's banned from Budokan Hall, so he may not be in the G1 climax. Unless he wrestles as Tiger Mask W, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, apparently he moonsaults off of something when they told him he shouldn't moonsault off of it. And he was like, don't tell me where I can and can't do backflips. And he was banned from Budokan.
Wow.
So, yep, that's it. That is a lot of stuff. The tournament is starting a little earlier this year. I believe July 14th. They're going to do the 14th, 15th, and then take a few days off. So I might actually be on family vacation then. So that where I'm going better fucking have some goddamn Wi-Fi. I'm going to need to watch my New Japan. All right, that's it for New Japan news. 35,000 sold for tickets. 40,000 in attendance overall for Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice. They sold a hell of a lot more than last year.
Yeah, last year was like 27,500. This one was 35,000, and this was Thursday. So I'm guessing next year when it's on a Friday, that should be even more popping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done.
All right.
I think I only have one other piece of news, but I think you might be covering it.
Yeah. And before the news, This week I had done some purchasing. I will be at the Beyond Wrestling 76 show out in the Chikara Wrestle Factory in Philly.
So Chikara!
I'll be on that one. So I'll be there around 2 p.m. I guess I'll be there early, I guess, because that Philly traffic fucking sucks. And besides that, I will later in the night, I will also be at NXT TakeOver. I got some decent floor seats and shit, so be right and sweet over there. Did cost me a pretty penny, but still, I have a lot saved up anyway. So yeah, I'll be going to two different fucking events on the in less than 3 weeks. So it's gonna be some awesome stuff.
You get to see Beyond in the locally famous Chikara Factory, and then you're gonna go see a TakeOver show. That's a lot right there.
That is a lot. The TakeOver show, I don't even know what is gonna be on it besides the Gargano Almas match. That's it.
I'll tell you, I have $5 that Tommaso Ciampa returns.
Oh, that would be insane. See, I'm thinking because it's a TakeOver before fucking Royal Rumble, it has to be fucking some big shit going down.
I just pulled up the match for the matches for Philly right here.
Okay.
So we have Lars Sullivan is either going to wrestle Killian Dane or Roderick Strong, but Lars Sullivan is scheduled to wrestle. Yeah. Steel cage match for the tag titles. Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Authors of Pain. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. Aleister Black versus Adam Cole in an Extreme Rules match.
Oh, okay.
Then, of course, the main event, Almas defense against Johnny Gargano. That sounds like a pretty damn good show.
That looks like a good show. Only thing I'm a little bit bothered about, Velveteen Dream, after the last TakeOver, he's nowhere to be found.
Like
they're probably just waiting to like find something for him.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I mean, I know he's still a little I don't want to say green, but it's still a little newer. I wouldn't be surprised if they got moved up really quickly too.
You think so?
You know.
But
yeah, why not?
That,
I mean, they,
that's the problem with him moving up is that what the fuck is he going to do on the main roster?
Well, that's what we say about 90% of the main roster, so it wouldn't really change much anyway.
Right.
There's just something about him that makes me think that, I mean, his promos are good, his mannerisms and his characteristics are good, and you're never quite sure what they're looking for when they're moving somebody up. I wouldn't be surprised. To be honest with you, I'm more surprised the Authors of Pain haven't moved up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what really throws me off. Like, I can see why they wouldn't move Aleister Black up, because by all rights, he looks like he's going to be the heavyweight champion sometime in the near future.
Right.
Like, that makes sense. But I can see them moving Velveteen Dream up. He has a lot of, I think he has a lot of buzz behind him, too.
Yeah.
That match with, you saw my top 25, right?
Yeah.
I think that was on in there somewhere, him and Aleister Black. That match was so...
Yeah, like I had my top 10 matches, but then their match was like in that honorable mentions, but it was like high honorable mentions. So that one was like number like 11 or some shit like that.
We'll go through each other's lists at the end of the show. That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, so that's what's up.
And yeah, and one thing I was thinking about the Royal Rumble, but the ticket prices wasn't worth it for me.
Yeah, like, I hear the tickets for the also the 25th anniversary Raw are going to be pretty bad too.
Yeah, because like it's like to get decent like lower level seats for the Royal Rumble, it's like $300. $300 freaking dollars, man, for lower level.
Yeah.
That shit's fucking insane. Some upper level is still $100. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, the prices for the upcoming New Japan show are pretty stacked, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can imagine. I did hear there was a brief rumor that the 25th anniversary Raw was going to be like 5 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
They were quick to say, no, that's not happening.
That was like something from like the TCA. Because like there was a panel, like the Television Critics Association thing, where Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were talking. And then like, I don't know, somebody brought it up to 5 hours or something after they showed up. And, yeah, might as well go through news with that. Because, like, yeah, they had the TCA panel going on, and they talked about a whole bunch of random stuff. But one thing that somebody decided to ask was about Rich Swann.
Not the time.
Yeah, so they decided to ask about Rich Swann, and Stephanie McMahon said, yeah, he's still suspended indefinitely. We have a zero tolerance policy, yada, yada, yada.
It's been like a month, right?
Basically, they're still waiting on, if there's going to be actual charges against him. Like, if there's, like, any charges against him, he's done. If not, then they may bring him back.
I don't think there's going to be any charges. It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. So he's just going to be waiting in limbo for a while. I don't know.
They might want to send him back to NXT for a while.
Yeah, because it seems like they don't want to give up on him. That's the thing. Adam Rose, they tossed him to the bushes quick.
They kept fucking with his gimmicks and everything.
What?
They kept fucking with his gimmicks and all his stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were losing faith in him real fast.
Yeah. I don't know. Rich Swann may have some type of redemption story going on, but we'll see. We will see. Yeah. But, of course, I think they also talked about... I think during the TCA, they also talked about how well the WWE Network is doing now, you know. But like, who would have thought it though? Because like, when the WWE Network was like in the early stages, shit was not looking good for a long time. Maybe like the first 6 months were like super, super fucking rough. They had decent content, but the user interface was terrible, and just lack of content, like sparse content altogether. But now that they've built up the library and all that, and apparently a lot more of the popular shit is actually like older in-ring stuff.
Yeah, I know, and a lot of gift makers seem to be going back to watching the old stuff.
Yeah, not just like old WWF stuff, like different promotions that they've acquired. I think they recently acquired another one. Do you know which promotion it is?
The library. I'll look it up.
Some Mid-Atlantic one or something like that.
WWE acquires up in Mid-Atlantic to see what happens. Lots of old promotions for them to buy shit from. Yeah. I mean, WWE's acquires. Doesn't buy his pants as Mid-Atlantic Films. Now that was older. Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling added to WWE a few days ago.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Actually, they've owned this library for a long time. They're only putting it up there now. I think they bought it in 2001.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah, because I don't know. I think they've just taken a while to, like, convert shit, you know? I think that's what a lot of it's doing.
Yeah, digitize everything.
Yeah.
You know, but how many wrestling libraries does WWE own? Let's see what happens. Libraries.
They probably have at least a dozen.
Yeah.
But of course, as long as they still have regional Southwest wrestling, that's what matters.
Yeah.
That's the main one. I can't get enough of that.
Oh, really?
Huh. Oh, man. WWE Libraries. Let's see what we got here. Classic WWE Holdings, Capital Wrestling Corporation from 1952 to 1963. Worldwide Wrestling Federation, 63 to 79. Then, of course, the World Wrestling Federation, and then the name change in 2002, which also includes all of that. All right, non-WWE purchases. The first significant archives of their former competitor, and then the purchase of Extreme Championship Wrestling, but also American Wrestling Association, Georgia Championship Wrestling. Wow, from 1944 to 1985. That is, I don't think I've ever heard of Georgia Championship Wrestling. Yeah, already got that. Memphis Championship Wrestling from 2000-2001. Ohio Valley, obviously, from 98 to 2008. Deep South, 2005-2007. Florida Championship, 2007-2012. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, 92-95. Stampede, 48-89. With the exclusion, I believe, of all the Bret Hart footage. Maybe Owen Hart footage. Global Wrestling Federation, which it says right here they're shared with ESPN. That's interesting. World Championship Wrestling, obviously, which includes parts of the Jim Crockett Promotions, Eastern States Championship Wrestling, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. That was one of the libraries, I guess, WCW owned. Central States Wrestling, Champion. So all these are owned by WCW at one time. Championship Wrestling from Florida, Championship Wrestling from Georgia, and NWA Tri-State Mid-South UWF. Wow. World Class Championship Wrestling, Maple Leaf Wrestling. Jesus. And then I guess they own some of the NWA licenses? God damn. So, yeah, they own a whole shitload of stuff. Alright, that's it.
Yeah. Alright, okay, and in other news, indie wrestler Mike Perro has come out as gay.
So I saw that.
Congratulations to him, man. He also got engaged as well, too?
Yeah, maybe. He's a big-looking dude.
Yeah, he got engaged. I think he got engaged on a beach and shit. So it's a nice shit happened. Nice shit happening.
Speaking of marriage, I think... I don't know... Because I can't read Japanese, but Bull Nakano was posting something that looked like her in a wedding dress. I don't know if she got married.
Really?
I know it was her birthday just recently.
Huh.
But because I can't, because she leads to a blog, I can't quite understand how. But even if she didn't get married, congratulations on your birthday the other day. She's been visiting the States lately to help with the Rise seminar things as well.
Honestly, I would have thought she would have been married already.
You know, I know. She's 50.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's why.
Well, see, I don't know. I mean, I had heard, like, some random online rumors that a lot of the, I don't know a lot, but a number of the women in Japanese wrestling at that time were closeted gay women. I don't know if it's any of that's true. It could just be some random-ass fucking rumors, but, but you know, you never quite know. And, I mean, only a few of those women ever married, at least to my knowledge, any, like, well-known people in Japan. I'm sure some of them who retired and left young, but the women who stayed in it longer or became, like, superstars, the only one I know who, like, married anyone famous was, or got married were Megumi Kudo from Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling, FMW, who married another wrestler, and, of course, Akira Hokkaido, who married Kinsuke Sasaki.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, man, Bull Nakano.
Yeah.
What
other news I got? Apparently, officials backstage were actually mad at Elias for bringing up CM Punk, the other week. Cause you
bullshit.
Remember, well,
I saw that gif. That was beautiful.
That shit was funny. Hey.
See, I'd have put the fucking title on him for that shit.
Hell yeah. Fuck all that. That shit was funny as hell. Like, he played that shit nice. He played that shit nice. But John Cena had to be that guy and say, oh, they can say whatever they want. Like, shut up. Don't encourage that shit. But in other news, Stephanie McMahon has extended an invitation to Chrissy Teigen to attend WrestleMania 34. I believe Chrissy Teigen was on Twitter talking about how fun her experience at one of the WrestleManias years ago that she went to. And that got some buzz, I guess, and Stephanie McMahon ended up replying. So that would definitely be a good look on the WWE for the fact that...
I saw a bunch of idiot fans like, who is she? Yeah. Like, I don't know much about her, but I know she's famous, and she seems like a pretty neat person. She's married
probably
to...
She's probably one of the more prolific people on Twitter. Like,
And people... And usually whenever someone points out, like, dude, they're famous, they're like, well, I've never heard of her. I'm like, bitch, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. See, that's why people don't like wrestling fans, you know? Like, but the funny thing is that, like, wrestling fans, they know it's a niche, like, a genre and whatnot, but it's niche, but then they pretend like everything else doesn't matter. Which makes fucking sense.
Same thing with comic fans, too. It's a thing they have in common, too. Yeah. It pisses me off.
Yeah. It's always people who are into some type of niche, like, niche thing, you know? Always.
Yeah.
Always. Like, they always have to, and then they have to be contrarians about stuff, and it's like, it becomes a thing with them that... They don't care, but at the same time, like, a lot more people don't give a shit about what they care about, so they kind of look like assholes.
And they also have that thing I noticed, too, where, like, with comic book fans, wrestling fans, there's those ones who only, like, get into, like, the mainstream stuff.
Right.
And they hate all, like, the minor stuff. Simon Grimm had a great comeback on some guy like a few weeks ago who was bitching about how he was like on a like Ring of Honor or doing indies. Simon Grimm's like, you have the name Punk in your Twitter handle and you're mad about underground shit.
Right.
I'm like, if you can't call yourself Punk and only like mainstream shit, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Get the fuck out of here. Yo.
Punk rock. Fucking real punk rockers hated all mainstream shit. Where the fuck are you coming from with this?
Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of rock and roll type shit, Rolling Stone actually named The Miz Wrestler of the Year.
I saw that. That was great.
Yeah, they straight up said, like, yeah. And I guess they explained themselves well. It makes sense because, yeah, he has, in a way, carried a lot of the shit on their back. Like, weekly shit, specifically. Like, if you're looking at SmackDown, like, his segments were the most must-see. Well, he would call it the most must-see, but usually, yes, they were pretty much the most must-see. And on Raw, he kind of kept that same momentum when he got the chance, you know? So it doesn't make sense.
I mean, he's essentially became the main antagonist on Raw because Brock Lesnar is not around enough.
Exactly.
So he's the antagonist on Raw without being, like, the main champion.
Right.
And then when he was on SmackDown, he was the secondary antagonist and still probably the best because some of the weird booking on the top of the main event, he was kind of secure in his spot. So, yeah. He works as a bad guy, too, because he's kind of sympathetic. He has a lot of very realistic traits. I mean, I love how he's kept the feud with Daniel Bryan going. It just makes him even better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great talker. I mean, it's taken him years. I mean, he was always an okay wrestler. I mean, and to a degree, he still is only okay, but he's just so good at what he does. He understands his limitations, and he works pretty well with everyone.
Works around him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a classic worker. You're not going to expect him to be the best striker or the strongest guy or the most technical dude, but he does enough of what works that it gets over.
Yeah.
He's just been on point. And I have no problem. Like, I didn't put him in my top whatever wrestlers of the list, but, you know, because he's not one of my top wrestlers. But if someone told me that their favorite wrestler was Miz or he was the best wrestler, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, really.
No, I like the Miz enough. He's not my favorite guy. But if I had to, like, do a full-on... If I did my list, took everybody out of it, and only made it WWE guys, he would probably be in my top 10, definitely my top 20.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that I would list that I would, like, argue about when anybody would make a list is, like, worst wrestlers. When someone would put out a worst wrestler and their in-ring work is on par with some of the top wrestlers they name, and popularity is on par, and then basically the only reason that they're putting him at the worst is because they don't like seeing them. That's the only thing I always argue about.
Yeah, you know? I saw you. You were mad about that Roman Reigns worst wrestler thing. I wasn't really mad,
but I was like annoyed. I was like, come on.
Like, he wouldn't make my top 10, but I like Roman Reigns. I understand the anger.
I call NoDQ.com a joke, right? And I think one of their editors responded saying, responded. I just straight up ignored him. But for real, like, part of the reason why I call it a joke, yeah, some people tried to argue, like, oh, but the fans voted for it. If they were credible, they wouldn't have him in the fucking conversation. Period. Yeah. Like, if he wouldn't be in the fucking conversation. Like, he wouldn't be on the list to vote for it, you know?
You're absolutely right. WWE has guys who can't talk as well as Roman, and Roman's not a good promo guy. I'm going to straight up say that.
Yeah.
But there's still guys who talk worse than him.
Yes.
And yes, there are better wrestlers than him, but do they get the reaction he gets? Do they bring the anticipation? People watch Roman Reigns, even people who don't like Roman Reigns, they watch him hoping he loses. How many wrestlers do you hate where you actually want to watch his match and hope he loses? That's, to me, not a sign of a bad wrestler. Except for maybe, Jinder Mahal is a bad wrestler, but I understand what they tried to do with him.
Right.
But Jinder Mahal is a decent promo guy, has a great look, great fucking entrance.
Oh yeah,
his weakest part is his actual wrestling.
He had a pretty decent promo on Tuesday.
Yeah, so, like, I can buy him maybe as a worse wrestler than Roman, but even then I would put other guys below Jinder Mahal. To me, Jinder Mahal is just, at worst, below average. He's a guy that maybe 20 years ago would have been better than he is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a worker, he's more, like, 20 years ago he would have been considered pretty good. But in this day and age, he's up against guys like fucking AJ Styles, there's no contest.
Right.
And, like, Roman Reigns is a guy who can hang. And I've said this constantly. Roman Reigns is a guy, you put him in the ring with someone who really knows how to work, they and Roman Reigns can make magic. Because Roman Reigns is like a blank canvas a lot of times.
Yeah.
You just put him in the ring. You got him with AJ. I didn't see that match with Cesaro or even with Jason Jordan. But what I saw of it, those motherfuckers went.
Yep.
He understands his purpose. He's a worker like Miz. He's a guy who understands his limitations, but he's a guy who makes it work. Now, obviously, I put Miz above Roman Reigns, but I like Roman. There are guys on the WWE roster I would put far below Roman Reigns. I put Ascension below Roman Reigns.
Almost definitely.
Like, I don't even know what they do. I really don't.
Get squashed by Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, by Ascension version 2.0, yes.
Yeah, basically.
There are guys in NXT we've seen do little bit of stuff who are far worse than Roman Reigns. There are indie guys who are far worse than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is elite at the worst average. And average in WWE is fine. Because we watch WWE not just for the wrestling. I mean, personally, that's all I care about. But if I was to watch WWE week after week, it's not just the wrestling. It's the presentation, it's the promos, and I don't blame him for booking or promos, because WWE's been fucking idiotic with that shit. But his presentation, he looks good. He gets a reaction. Those are two of the most key factors in WWE booking. And Roman Reigns does that well. When you have people tuning in, hoping you lose the match, fully invested, it doesn't matter how much you chant, you still suck. You know, for a brief fucking moment, you bought into it. Yeah. So calm the fuck down. All right, I'm done.
Rant over. okay, what other news was there? You heard what happened with Jazzy Gabbert, right?
She didn't get a contract because she's injured or something?
Yeah, I think I don't know if she had like a neck issue or something like that, but I believe she had surgery not too long ago to take care of it, so hopefully there's a contract still on the table for her.
Yeah, because they wanted her. She looked really good in that match with Abby.
Yeah.
So I mean, and she has the size and power that would make her a very good dominating figure, because they don't have too many women with size and power like right. her. And usually they book them badly anyway.
So. Right. Yeah, so hopefully she have speedy recovery and get signed. And then what else? Sasha Banks. Apparently somebody was selling strands of her hair on eBay. That is some creepy ass shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many creepers in wrestling, man. Like going to a show live, you definitely notice that. You definitely notice how many like creepy dudes are like lingering around and shit. I remember during the CZW like Cage of Death event, and it just seemed like I think when Penelope Ford came out, you could see how like dudes were just fucking like salivating and shit. It was fucking sick.
Yeah, and these are the same guys who are like, women only want to become wrestlers to fuck guys, and want to go to shows to fuck guys. Yeah, they're sitting there like, God, I want to buy her panties when she puts it up on eBay.
Right.
And props to the women who understand this and sell their gear to these guys. They're like, well, shit, they're going to lust on me. I better make some goddamn money off of this.
Yeah, that's
true. Props to you, women, for dealing with this shit.
You got to take advantage when you can.
Yeah, make that money.
In this economy, if you don't take advantage of that shit, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah, we don't have Chief of Staff Rainmaker Okada yet, so you gotta make it rain yourself.
Yep, that's right. That is right. It just says as long as you're not fucking selling, like, sleeping in bed with fans, like, fucking, what's her name? And you're good.
I don't know, with this economy, everybody's gonna be sleeping with people to make some fucking money.
I guess so. Apparently Ring of Honor, not only did they change their world title belt, they changed all their fucking belts.
Oh, that's interesting.
So all of their belts are different now. They changed every single one. Well, the only good thing is that the six-man titles look sort of decent now. Because the original, like, way they had it was not okay with me. And then also, David Starr, once the new year finally rang out, I think it was like January 2nd where he decided that, at midnight, like he would reveal, he would expose somebody for, not keeping their word. So once midnight rang out and the person never fucking responded, like the way they're supposed to, I guess, he aired him out. So apparently he ate out, Matthias Glass. You know, the if you remember.
The ascetic assassin or some shit.
Yeah,
like that,
the,
right?
Yeah.
I saw this play out. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's the guy who's parodying, a Orthodox Jew with all the stereotypes and whatnot. So he aired him out, basically said that this Matthias guy basically wanted to originally capitalize on the heat that was going on and go ahead and have a feud, an actual like wrestling feud with David Starr to make some money off of it that would culminate in David Starr eventually winning and vanquishing Matthias' character or some bullshit like that just to monetize it. So
that's some fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that was fucking dumb. And then besides that, apparently he even asked him, he tried to tell him to ask him, when, like, if he could get a tryout for CZW. So he's trying to get a tryout for CZW as well, and basically just trying to capitalize on any possible thing he could, and, like... But David Starr, all he wanted was for the guy to make a public apology. That's it. That's all he had to do. Make a public apology and say that he was done with the character. And the guy decided not to do it. Like, he went back on it. I think he was supposed to promise not to, to portray the character. I think he still did it. He might have still done it after that and didn't say anything. And, yeah, so David Starr knew, and once the time ran out, that was it. So, now everybody knows that this guy's a shitbag who will exploit anything possible for fuck money. Which is ironic, because, like, he's playing this, like, parody of Jews, and you know how Jews have a stereotype of greed and trying to get to money any way they can. While he's basically done the same fucking thing. In that stereotype, you know?
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot. But, fuck that guy. Besides that, WWE Live apparently has partnered with Fight, F-I-T-E. And I guess Fight has their own network of stuff. I think who else is partnered? Some other promotion, I think, is partnered with Fate. I want to say, is it New Japan?
Maybe in Canada. I know they're on one of the networks in Canada. I think they're on Fight on Canada.
Yeah, most likely.
And maybe India too, because I know they're on one of the Indian stations. So they're trying to find TV stations in every one. I think they're looking for a UK one now too.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's somewhere. But, yeah, so, WWE and Live has that, and also a new streaming service, that they launched, which, of course, will be for $9.99. Me, myself, I would not be purchasing that because I'm already having a whole boatload of other fucking streaming services. I think I got Hulu, Netflix, WWE Network. I got live TV from like fucking PlayStation View. I got a Powerbomb TV also that I'm paying for all types of shit. So yeah, there's that. I don't know, whatever. The one in Capitals, apparently they're using Oni Lorcan's theme song as their goal scoring song. So I guess every time they score a goal, that's the song that plays after they score it. So, yeah. National Hockey League team with an NXT wrestler's theme song as a song. That's pretty cool.
They're dropping the ball on Oni Lorcan on NXT.
Yeah, they are. They should have at least like made his tag team with what's his name? Martin Stone. What's he does? Shit, what is his name in NXT? Fuck, I forgot. But yeah,
I thought it was Martin Stone, and he just went by something else before that.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, they should have made that tag team. They should make tag team more prominent, at least. You know. At the very least, because they had a good series last year. That's one of the ones that like was like slept on. Though that's the only thing like. They had these like year end awards that people are voting for right now, and their like little series, their little rivalry was not included in it, which should have been at least. I wouldn't have voted for it for number one, but it definitely deserves some type of recognition. They're like the forgotten stepchildren. Damn shame. In other news, it looks like Carmella and Big Cass may have broken up. That's the rumor that's going on.
Because she's a success and he isn't?
Yeah, basically. Oh, actually, no, not really. But the thing is that, is she really that much of a success?
To me, she is. I mean, what has Big Cass done since breaking up with Enzo other than get injured? He had terrible entrance music. He can't cut a fucking promo. I mean, and he was only good as a tag wrestler.
But only time will tell, because he was only around for a few weeks before he got injured.
But I think we can agree Carmella's a better promo person than he is.
He had zero chance to actually show anybody that he could actually be something, you know? Which is a shame. But
I just think that Carmella has a better presence as a singles individual. I thought Cass worked fine as a tag wrestler, but I was worried when they broke them up, and the little bit I saw with him just made me even more worried.
See, but that's the thing. The problem. Okay, so yeah, hopefully he come back better. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. If he comes back better, that'd be great.
But Carmella, I'm not gonna overhype her. I'm not.
Overhype. She's on the bottom of my list of women.
Because she can't wrestle that well. Still, I can't.
I think she's gotten better over the last few months. I like her finisher, the leg lock thing. I like how she transitions into that.
Yeah, but she and with her only having a few notable moves and that's it. It doesn't really sell it for me. Her personality is pretty good.
Luckily, with women, they rarely put her in anything that is multi women match.
Yeah,
so she works flawlessly in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, if I saw more of her as a singles wrestler, I'd probably be angry. But they're using her pretty well.
Yeah, they're giving her the back seat to Natalya right now. That's what they're doing.
They are, and Elite, but she still seems like she's a presence hovering around with the Money and the Bank thing as well. So. Yeah. I think it's just, I guess it is another example of WWE understanding how to book one person limitations and not understanding how to book another person limitations, especially when you want either of them to get more successful. Because we know Carmella will probably win the title in the future.
Yeah.
With Cass, you know they see him as a bigger thing, but the way they went about trying to build this was really fucking stupid.
But yeah, apparently they're saying that the reason that they actually broke up was because she wanted to move to LA and he didn't, or some weird shit. Apparently that's supposed to be some type of topic that's going to eventually be brought up in fucking Total Divas or whatever. But it's a damn shame. And speaking of more relationship shit, David Otunga found Jennifer Hudson in contempt of court as he claims she violated a gag order speaking about the situation and their son to People magazine. So he's using his lawyer powers to really make sure she's fucked. Well, she kind of
should not have gotten involved with a lawyer if she was going to be pulling this shit.
Yeah, she screwed up. She fucked up. She messed with the wrong dude.
Pulling that out, get full custody.
Yeah, fuck around. Yeah, that might just happen. And in other news, Chris Jericho, we talked about the Wrestle Kingdom match. He actually ended up dedicating the match to Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, which definitely ruffled some feathers, including Ryan Satin of the Pro Wrestling Sheet. Who voiced his displeasure and actually wrote an article about it and all that and whatnot. Just reminding people, he's a fucking murderer. Shouldn't just be out in the open, dedicating shit to this dude. I guess you could do it in private, but, out in the open on Twitter, come on now. But Chris Jericho would later go on Instagram Live and talk about a whole bunch of things, but at near the end of it, brought up Ryan Satin and basically told him to go fuck himself. Oh, man. But, yeah, and apparently Ryan Satin caught a lot of flack for it. Like, wrestling fans just out of the woodwork talking crap, threatening to fucking kill him, threatening a whole bunch of fucked up shit, and then, like, then some of them were, like, weird-ass conspiracy theorists basically claiming that, oh, we don't know if Chris Benoit actually killed his family, and all this other great, like, there were literally people responding that way. It was wacky as shit.
Yeah, people don't want to believe it, even though there's really, no one else could have done it.
No one else could have done that shit.
They said after his autopsy, he was suffering from severe CTE. He had the brain of like an 8-year-old or something like that. So.
And then, besides that, people wanted to bring that excuse up. Like, yes, that's a cause and it's terrible, that's a shame, but still the fact that he killed some people.
Yeah, you can't use that as a
You can't a use that as an excuse. It's a terrible thing, but you can't use that as an excuse.
Yeah, calm down, motherfuckers.
Yeah, but
once again, wrestling fans being jackass. Like, me personally, I would have just ignored the comment in the first place because it's like, whatever. But, I mean, I get why someone would want to call him out on that. And, I don't know. Me, with this kind of stuff, it's like, look, I ain't going to say shit and create super discourse unless it really fucking pisses me off.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that's annoying, but, yeah, it's like, I can ignore this.
And besides that, just speaking of dead wrestlers, a wrestler from the original GLOW by the name of Mount Fuji passed away. Yeah.
Oh, from GLOW, yes.
Yeah, so R.I.P. to her. R.I.P.
Yeah, Mount Fuji.
Yeah, and then, Jeff Jarrett, I guess he was done with his stint of rehab and whatnot because he was out and about doing some wild shit, this time at a Grizzlies game. And he decided he wanted to wrestle. So, I'm told, because I saw a clip, apparently he was wrestling, they had a makeshift ring at the Grizzlies game last week, and it was him and D'Angelo Williams wrestling. D'Angelo Williams is known as a former NFL player. We still don't even know what the fuck he does now. He just kind of does whatever the fuck he wants. If anybody recalls D'Angelo Williams, he had a match last year in Impact, teaming with Moose. I believe it was against Chris Adonis and... it may have been Magnus as well. I don't know. Or Eli Drake. I think it was Eli Drake and Chris Adonis. Yeah, they were tagging against those two. And D'Angelo Williams actually did pretty well. He actually had some moves on him. So he could have a future if he really wanted to, but I don't think he really wants to do that shit full time. But I heard Jeff Jarrett also wrestled fucking Jerry Lawler at a Grizzlies game too.
Shouldn't Jeff Jarrett just be chilling at his house, resting up? Jesus Christ, he really should. I'm fucked up.
He really should. Speaking of people who needed to chill out at their house, which probably is chilling out at their house, Logan Paul. I don't even want to know. We all know what the fuck happened with this guy. He filmed a dead body in the suicide force in Japan and caught a lot of flack for it. He actually gained more subscribers on YouTube.
People are idiots.
But yeah, he got a lot of flack for it. I think the new thing now is that, like, he got kicked off of a YouTube Red series that he was supposed to be on called Foursome, which sounds dumb already. And they basically removed him from the Google Preferred line for the like the top 5% of YouTube or some shit like that. So basically, he's lost all the monetization on his channels. So he like he'll post, so he can post videos again and whatnot. Yeah, he can post videos again and whatnot, but he won't make any money off of them, period. Like, so basically the only way he's gonna fucking make money is if he, keeps selling merch, asks for, like, sponsorships or shit, which most likely he won't get, or hustles some little kids out of money, and asks them to, go for his, like, Patreon or some shit, or some dumb shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I just saw Shayna Baszler stomp on, like, Dakota Kai's, like, arm. That shit looked sick. That shit was sick. And now she's choking her out. What the fuck? Yo, she is fucking savage. She trying to kill her, son. Shit is crazy. But anyway, I brought up Logan Paul because one person who... wanted to chime in on it was Kenny Omega. He decided he wanted to chime in on it, and he
tore into
Logan Paul because unlike Logan Paul, Kenny is a white man who definitely respects the Japanese culture. But yeah, the Logan Paul shit was like bad with the Suicide Force, but then you find out that like he had another video. A part of the vlog or whatever that was even worse. That shit was so disrespectful. So disrespectful. But yeah. But I'm talking about Kenny Omega in Japan, but also apparently New Japan's owner went on record and said that he would love to work with WWE.
Yeah. He's trying to make some fucking money. He's
trying to get everybody paid, man.
Yeah, he also said he has no problem trying to go after WWE, hire WWE wrestlers either.
Shit, if he gets New Japan big enough, he could possibly do that with no problem.
Yeah,
no fucking problem. Shit, like Daniel Bryan, if he isn't cleared like he wants to be cleared, he's gone, and New Japan's gonna scoop him up quick.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what New Japan's policy on concussions are.
Oh, they don't give a shit.
But but yeah, I know Mexico doesn't give a shit. That's why he's talking about going to CMLL and Slim Panther.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and, you know, his wife's like, well, I'm not going to stop him. He wants to go wrestle. He's just, you know, he probably has on his calendar, it's like 100 days until contract up.
Right.
And that shit.
Right, because I think his like contract's up in like September or something like that.
Yeah,
August,
and then there's
September?
The 90-day thing, so that's so that means if he did come back for Ring of Honor, for example, he would be there in time for Final Battle,
yeah, that's right.
And they've been teasing Cody and him kind of back and forth online, so yeah. Cody's pretty much said, I want to be the first fucker to wrestle him if he gets out.
Yeah.
Because they're trying, they're really hard to get him. They're also trying really hard to bring up Punk. They're trying to convince him. And Punk might as well just get the fuck out of UFC and go get a fucking New Japan contract, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know why he's still trying to do that shit.
Yeah, I know. I guess he's under contract. But if they got Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, Jesus Christ, you could say that New Japan is going hard for the American audience.
Yeah.
All these motherfuckers who say, I ain't watching New Japan, would change their mind in a second. Like, fuck New Japan. They just got CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. Okay, so how do I sign up for this New Japan world, man? Gotta see my boy Punk. Fuck Roman Reigns.
Oh, my God. You know what would be funny, though? CM Punk shows up in New Japan and shits the bed. Like, performance-wise.
You know what? I would not be surprised.
Because that's what I'm waiting for him to finally like, kind of be exposed in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be that. It's been so long. I don't know. Like, I can see Daniel Bryan still. You see him on his Instagram. He's still in shape. He's still doing grappling training. He's still doing stuff. With Punk, you're not sure. You know he's supposed to be doing MMA training, but you never really know, right? Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest. Whoever they bring in, they're going to eventually feed them to fucking Okada. But Okada will carry them into a four-star match, so it's okay.
Yeah. CWF Mid-Atlantic apparently fired their booker and announcer due to what they call inappropriate behavior. And apparently there was like a ripple effect because there was another promotion in near the area that ended up having to cancel their January 20th show that I think, I don't know if he was part of them getting... Them getting wrestlers to work there or whatever, but that shit is a fucking mess, and people still don't know what the fuck is going on, you know?
Yeah,
because like, they say like something happened, but like they don't want to say. So I wonder what it was. I think they said that the guy from the other promotion, there was rumors that he's messing with a 13-year-old or some shit. Which he vehemently denied, but shit looks fucking, yeah, they ain't looking good. Everybody's getting exposed for something these days. Yeah. And speaking of exposing themselves, Mia Khalifa, apparently she is back in the wrestling news again. She claims that she will be attending the War of the Genders 2, which is out in Cali, your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about this, and I just shrugged.
Yeah, because it's one of those events that's, like, I think it has, like, that Sammy Guevara guy, Joey Ryan. I think Human Tornado has been advertising fighting this girl called Baby D over a month straight. So, yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's a Cali crowd. It seems like they're going to be chill, but... It's a wrestling crowd too, so if they spot her and shit, it's gonna be It might be hostile.
Yeah. Might be some hostile anyway, shit. There's some news that just came in that might interest you. Guess who returned to Impact?
Jeff Jarrett?
No, but this person does have the same letter for his first and last name.
Fuck. Jerry Jarrett?
No, Austin Aries.
Oh.
And apparently he won a title. Just won the X Division title.
Oh, because I heard they were doing tapings, and this is the first tapings that, like, Don Callis was, like, the main, like, guy booking everything for, so.
Yeah.
So maybe
I didn't realize Caleb Khan was working for, Impact too.
Oh yeah, he's been working for them for like over a year.
Yeah, this shows you how much I pay attention to Impact. At least,
like, I don't pay attention to them, but I know like a few of the people who work there that were from the indies and shit. Because I know Everett and I know Everett's still working there, I think. And what was that?
I think he's doing a tour somewhere right now,
and
or he's about.
What was that other high-flying dude that was with them? Actually, no, not high-flying. What was it? Trevor Lee. I think he's still...
Yeah, Trevor Lee's teaming up with Caleb Conley right now.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the tapings right now, so I'm seeing some of the results pop up on my page.
Okay. And then besides that, Nickelodeon has a show called Paradise Run. And a lot of WWE superstars are apparently participating in it. Of course, you got the run-of-the-mill people that are kid-friendly folks like Kalisto, Apollo Crews, Bayley. But you also got people like Naomi and the Usos also participating in it. I guess it's some like weird like outdoor... thing. It's like, it involves water sports and all this other weird shit. I don't know. I don't have Nickelodeon on my thing, so I don't care to go check it out. But
apparently Nickelodeon has a music video channel too.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, I was flipping through and I landed on Nick Music. I mean, it's all like current pop thing, stuff. Like they had Selena Gomez and other things, and I was just like, wow. It was just kind of interesting, you know? Someone got into the music video game.
Oh, wow. But one thing I will check out is John Cena's new fucking movie. That shit came out of nowhere. Because I was scrolling I was scrolling through social media, and then I see something called Blockers. I'm like, and it says it has John Cena. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, so let me check this shit out. So I'm looking at the trailer. Apparently he is married to an Indian woman. They have a half white, half Indian daughter, I guess, that's a teenager. And the premise of the movie is that basically their daughter and like Ike Barinholtz's daughter, I think Leslie Mann is in it too. And basically their daughters are trying to have sex on prom night, and they found out like through like some type of like connection through her laptop that she left open or something like that. So like now it's basically the parents doing all this type of crazy shit to try to stop their daughters from deflowering themselves or some weird shit. And I think there was a scene that involved butt chugging. So, it's going to be raunchy as shit. It's going to be some fucked up shit going on. And I will be there opening weekend. Yeah, that's right. Did you see the trailer?
No, I thought about it, but I just never got around to it.
Yeah, you should watch it. Oh, man, that shit is ridiculous. But, and besides that, other media that WWE stars are getting into. Miz and Maryse are having a TV show, a docuseries, called Miz and Mrs. That will be airing on the USA Network. So, that's some dope stuff for them. Congratulations. I think the Miz had originally now on Raw and his return to Raw since he's been gone for like almost 2 months or whatever. And besides that, guess who is in the new Transformers TV show?
Mark Hamill and Ron Perlman?
No. Samoa fucking Joe.
Ah.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw Ron Perlman and Mark Hamill listed for some Transformers thing.
Oh, no. Okay. I said no, but of course that's not relative, but... Yes, they are in it. They are in it, but Small Joe's with them also. So,
all right, that's cool.
So it's very so. Yeah, he is playing. He's playing the character called Predaking, apparently.
Never heard of him.
Apparently, some people have heard of Predaking before.
Yeah, my Transformers knowledge pretty much begins and ends with the old TV series. Yeah. Even then, I can't even name all the Transformers. I wouldn't even try. Even though the animated Transformers movie is still the height of all Transformers stuff.
Okay.
That old school animated movie is just so fucking awesome.
Huh. Yeah, but apparently Predaking is basically one of the stronger, like, Transformers, like, period. So, it's pretty interesting. I think he's a bad guy or something like that. Which makes sense, because I think he's part of the Predacons. All the ones based off of, like, fucking dinosaurs and shit like that.
I remember the Dinobots, but these ones are the Dinobots?
Interesting. Okay, so the Predacons and shit like that, they have different generations of that shit. The ones, I think the Dinobots that you're thinking about are the ones that were from that, CGI series from the 90s?
No, I'm thinking about the classic Dinobots from the original series.
Oh no, I think they were part of that, because it's supposed to be Generation 1 shit. Like,
yeah, I don't remember the Predacons in the old TV series. I remember it was Grimlock and his boys in one of the early seasons of the original Transformers. But like I said, there's so many fucking Transformers, I couldn't keep track of them. I just remember when I was younger that the Dinobots were the figures that everyone went after. I did get like a reissue of the Stegosaurus that everyone forgets about years later.
Cool cat. But yeah, so, but yeah, Samoa Joe's getting that bag, man. He's getting to the money. Getting those animated deals. One guy I'm still surprised hasn't gotten any type of thing is fucking Low-Key with his voice and shit.
Yeah. Low-Key. Non-wrestling news, but apparently someone at Marvel was like, fuck this Red Sparrow movie. Let's make Black Widow finally. So they're going to start making a Black Widow movie now.
Is that like a fact?
Yep. And I think it's probably because they were probably getting in development once they found out about that Red Sparrow movie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, because I heard... Oh, okay. Well, honestly, I'm probably going to take a hard pass on it. Not going to lie. I don't really care give a shit about Black Widow. I'm not going to be... Shit, I don't know. It just... She's just a character.
The best
I don't
they've ever
care.
Done with her was the second Captain America movie.
Yeah, it's just something I don't give a shit about, and I don't want to support the lead role of a Zionist, so I'm good.
Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, most definitely. Like I could support like the Avengers movies because it's like a whole ensemble shit with her, but. Her as the focus, as a Zionist? No, I will not do that. Because I believe in Palestine all day, every day. Shout out to them. And even Natalie Portman, fuck her too. Like if they decided to bring back Natalie Portman as like a new fucking like Thor, I'd tell them to go fuck themselves.
I didn't realize Scarlett Johansson was Israeli.
Yeah, she is... Yeah, fuck her. Yeah, she can go fuck herself.
I might see it depending on how the trailers look. Nah. But I don't know why they would do that now. They're adding way too many movies for their list of things. Yeah. Alright, we got anything else, man?
Yeah, I got a few things. Actually, no, that's it. That's all I got.
Should we talk about that All-In thing?
Well, oh yeah, that's the last thing. I thought we even talked about it, but I guess we didn't. Yeah, so All-In is the Cody and Young Bucks project that's supposed to be like have a 10,000 seat venue or something like that. Now it looks like that's what's going to happen on September 1st. Cody's involved, the Young Bucks, looks like, Hangman Page is involved, Kenny Omega is involved, Stephen Amell of Arrow fame is involved as well.
Going 3 for 3. You notice he's slipping down the wrestling train. He debuted in WWE and now he's doing indies.
Right.
That's a man with a passion.
Right. Right. But honestly, I hope it's successful. I really do hope it is.
I know there are people already out there hoping it's not a success. You know, because nothing can succeed outside WWE, apparently.
That's petty. That's just petty.
Yep. Alright, so let's talk about... Let's end this by talking about our favorites of the year. I got my list already up and running, so... I'll go through some of what I have for 2017. I wrote this on my blog. My favorite teams in ascending order. Start with Authors of Pain, which had a good year. I wasn't sold on them in the first year or so I saw them, but I've since warmed to them, and they were in one of my favorite tag matches. This one's a little bit more obscure. Siori, who won her first UFC match in Japan this year, I believe. And Hikaru Shida, They were the tag team champions in Sendai Girls for a while, and they were having some great matches. Apparently, they're tag team in other Joshi promotions, too. But Roppongi Vice, I liked them this year. Gorillaz of Destiny, Young Bucks, War Machine, The Bar. But my three favorite groups, tag teams, and factions are The New Day, because, let's be honest, it's The New Day. Los Ingobernables de Japón, for obvious reasons. And who I'm sure is your favorite tag team of the year, the Usos, down since day one-ish. The Usos were excellent this year. As for my wrestlers, I'm going to skip ahead and do the top 10. Mines were Kushida, Meiko Satomura, Asuka, Tomohiro Ishii, Evil, AJ Styles is my top WWE guy, Kenny Omega, Tetsuya Naito, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and my favorite wrestler of the year was Kazuchika Okada.
Nice.
Then I have my fucking matches of the year. Quite a but I'm doing 25. Let's see. Meiko Satomura and Io Shirai versus Chihiro Hashimoto and Hiroyo Matsumoto and Sendai Girls. I've only seen a little bit of Io Shirai, but she is always fucking impressive. But, Chihiro Hashimoto's, this is, I think, her second or third year in wrestling, and she is a fucking beast.
Hmm.
And then Hiroyo Matsumoto, Meiko Satomura, great. Also really like Tanahashi, Kotobushi from Power Struggle. The Raw tag title match, Rollins and Ambrose versus The Bar at No Mercy was good. The Elimination Chamber match, I think that kind of got slept on, but John Cena, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, Miz, Dean Ambrose, and Baron Corbin, that was great. I liked the Sunday Girls title
match. I have to
stop
you right there.
What?
Apparently, Leo Rush actually has a match on NXT.
Oh.
Yes, he is.
Now the question is, will he win it? Or are they going to feed him to Lars Sullivan or something?
Oh, I think he's getting fed to Lars Sullivan.
Okay.
I got to see 1 second. But it was interesting that they decided to, like, put him back on, like, start talking about him again. Because, like, they started advertising him for, like, the, you know, the end of the year votes for, like, I think he was part of the Future Stars list or whatever. Some shit like that. So. But, yeah, most likely he's about to get fed by, to Lars Sullivan. But, yeah, you can go ahead and continue your shit.
Well, before I do that, this Baszler-Dakota Kai thing remind me. Did you see that Dakota Kai-Nixon-Newell thing over the Christmas?
No.
Basically, they were dressed up and they were going to people's houses doing Christmas carols.
Yeah.
I forget the first house they went to, but they got the door closed. Oh, it was a Ruby Riott, and she just kind of, like, closed the door on them. And then they went to Shayna Baszler's to do the Christmas carols. She gave her her card, which is basically that spade thing, and they just ran off. And then they went to, what was it? Was it TK, TM, or was it? It was one of the tag team guys.
TM 61.
It might have been TM 61, and they were just like throwing popcorn at them. But then they got all like, okay, we'll do it one more time, and they went and saw Kairi Sane, and she was all into it. It was a little neat little thing they did on their own.
Yeah.
It was very cute. I just wanted to throw that out there. But it was on Nixon Newell and Dakota Kai's Twitter, if everyone wants to look that up. But yeah, that was nice. All right. Where was I? I just did Elimination Chamber. All right. And then Sendai Girls match. Hashimoto defended the title against Meiko Satomura. It was a great match. BJW tag match with the Twin Towers losing to Strong BJ. Best tag team name ever. Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black. The best of Super Junior Finals. Kushida will Ospreay. AJ Styles versus John Cena at Royal Rumble was great. Okada versus Kenny Omega in the G1 Climax. Kushida versus Taguchi in Best of Super Junior. Tanahashi and Naito from G1 Climax. The Triple Threat Tag Team Title Match. Authors of Pain. DIY Revival. That was great. The U.S. title tournament finals, Omega and Ishii. G1 Climax finals, Naito and Omega. Okada versus Evil, G1 Climax. My favorite women's match of the year was Royo Matsumoto versus Meiko Satomura in April. And Okada versus Elgin, G1 Climax. 7. Naito, Tanahashi, Dominion, where Tanahashi won the title. The never open weight title between Shibata and Goto from last Wrestle Kingdom. Here's my top 5. the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship Hell in a Cell match. The Usos versus the New Day. That match was intense. Then we got the Intercontinental title match between Naito and Elgin from New Beginnings. Number three, WWE UK title match, Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne, my favorite WWE-related match of the year. Number two, Okada versus Shibata. And then my number one match was, of course, Okada, Omega, Wrestle Kingdom. And that was all of my favorites. So, now I ask you, what were your favorite tag team here?
Favorite tag teams, New Day, DIY. I liked Evil and Sonata. Yeah, that was a good one. And definitely my favorite one was the Usos.
The Usos had a great fucking year.
Yeah.
Like the music, like the attitude. They really evolved. Yeah, they're always cool. And what are you about your favorite wrestlers, man and women? I just mixed mine together.
I would end up saying, like, frickin' Asuka, Ember Moon, Charlotte, Naomi, and Nia Jax. Those are top five women.
I like Nia Jax. I wish her booking was better. I don't know what the fuck WWE's thinking.
Yeah, it's a shame. But for men, of course, AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, Okada, and I don't know. Yeah, I think that's my top three. It's my top three. Yeah, that's my top three. Yeah, that's it.
And then we got the question, of course, your favorite matches of the year.
Favorite matches. Let me see. Okay. Number 10 was Hiromu Takahashi versus Kushida, Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Match.
Naito versus number 9 was Naito versus Tanahashi, Wrestle Kingdom 11. 8 was Goto versus Shibata, Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yeah, those top four matches were ridiculous.
Yeah. 7 was Hideki Suzuki versus Daisuke Sakimoto, BJW, March 3rd.
That was the one that went to the draw, right?
I think so. I think that was it. 6 was... Yeah, so Lars Sullivan's fucking murdering. Oh my fucking god! Yeah, they made sure they murdered Leo Rush. God damn, this shit's petty. This shit on purpose. He just dropped him from the second rope. Destroyed him. Jesus. Okay, number 6, Okada versus Shibata. Sakura Genesis.
Yeah.
5 was Ishii versus Omega at Wrestling Dontaku. 4 was actually John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble.
Great match. Man, January had some fucking killer matches.
Yeah. And then 3, of course, was Omega versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom 11. 2 was Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne at NXT TakeOver Chicago. And
which is my number 3 match, yeah.
And my number 1 was Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada at New Japan Dominion. And then I have a whole bunch of honorable mentions. Black versus Dream at TakeOver War Games. Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles of WrestleMania 33.
And then it's been all downhill from there for Shane McMahon as a character.
Yeah, basically. Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne on the NXTB on December 20th. Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne for the UK Championship Finals. AOP versus DIY versus the Revival for in that elimination tag match at TakeOver Orlando. Cage Death 19 match with Shane Strickland, Joe Gacy, and Ricky Shane Page. Mandrews versus Pete Dunne for the UK Championship semifinal. Strong versus Almas. TakeOver at San Antonio. DIY versus AOP. NXT TakeOver San Antonio. Shinsuke and Bobby Roode at NXT TakeOver San Antonio. And there's a whole bunch of other ones that I list. You can check them all out on my Tumblr page. And
yeah, everybody go do that.
Yeah. And what other categories?
Those are the only ones I did. I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, you could always like do your favorite promo guy or something like that.
I don't know. Okay,
I listened to a lot of WWE promos this year for myself to care.
Yeah, I think my favorite promo guy was The Miz, definitely.
Yeah, whenever I did catch stuff, Miz was really good. And I mean, Paul Heyman was always good, too.
Yeah. My favorite show of the year would actually be a tie between Wrestle Kingdom 11 and actually TakeOver War Games.
If I had to pick Wrestle Kingdom 11, I forget if I liked NXT Chicago all the way through, because I remember that had some really good stuff, too. But War Games...
I really liked Chicago, but War Games was a little above just because of the actual War Games match was interesting for me to see.
Yeah.
It was entertaining as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What other categories there would be. I think that's really important ones.
Yeah, that's all the important ones. I really give a shit. Then it's like arbitrary shit, like promotion of the year and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, I don't care about that.
And then the promotion one's too hard if you're only following a hand company. Like,
right.
I would say New Japan, but who knows?
Because the only people I was following was WWE and New Japan for the most part. And then I guess NXT kind of counts.
I just mix them together with WWE.
Yeah.
Because I end up liking a little bit more NXT than I do WWE.
Exactly. But yeah, that's my those are my lists.
All right. I think that's pretty much it. You want to sign us out?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I guess we're going to do some plugs and shit. Check us out on rantemradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Check out the other shows, Freaks and F and Geeks, Terrible Throwbacks, The Rant as the Flat Show. And you can also listen in on past episodes in the Archives tab. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com. At Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube. It's my primary channel. Secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. Boom.
Yeah, I don't feel like plugging anything right now.
All right. And on that note, we're going to end it on a high one. So, hey, 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 smoke weed every day.